We are working our way through the book of Ecclesiastes, and this morning we have reached chapter 12, which is the last chapter. So we've only got about two or three more months to go, and then we'll be wrapping it all up. We spent 2 weeks in chapter 11, and chapter 11 is kind of, he starts this, really 11 and 12, he's kind of speaking to us as a grandfather would, and he's trying to share some final life lessons. He's returned to the two main themes of the book, that life is uncertain. Life is unpredictable. But, that's part one, but part two, is God is in control. Life is uncertain and unpredictable, but God is in control. And then he tries to tell us, wants to tell us, how we ought to live in that type of a world. And the first thing he says is we ought to live boldly. Even though things are uncertain, he says live boldly because God is certain. God is in charge. And we know that God is working together all things for good to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. And so therefore, we can be bold in how we live. And secondly, he says, enjoy life. Although we're not in control, we are of how many days we have. We are in control of whether our life will be full or our life will be empty. We are in control whether we are happy or whether we're miserable. And so he says, enjoy life. Rejoice in this life. This is the only life you got. So rejoice in it. He says, get rid of all your emotional baggage. You know, the things that vex your heart, pull them out, throw them away. He says, take care of your body. And then live this life. Rejoice in this life that you have. But remember, God's going to call you to account for how you live. Now we come to chapter 12. And his counsel is, after living boldly and enjoying life, rejoicing in life, and then he says, remember God while you're young. Don't wait until you're old. Let's see what he says. Verse number one. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dim, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. Okay, so remember your Creator in your youth. Remember your Creator before you grow old. Okay, so two questions ought to spring from that. What would be some of the questions that would spring from that? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. What questions can come to mind? Okay, I'm trying to encourage you all, when you read the scriptures, to ask questions of the text. Okay. So what would be a question to ask? What does it mean to remember? That's a great question. What's the second question? Well, he's going in, and we kind of dealt with that. He's talking about the evil day and that old age. And the guys on the back row, they all said that they were in chapter 12, and they didn't want to come up front and everybody see what they look like. Okay. So I think the second question is why would he tell us that? What does it mean to remember God? And then why would he make that hit the counsel? You know, he said, live boldly, rejoice in your life, and now remember God. Okay, so what does it mean to remember? I think the best way to understand that is to look at how that word remember is used in other occasions in Scripture. And David, in Psalm 25, says, do not remember the sins of my youth or my rebellion or something. Don't remember that, God. And then in Hebrews, it says that God doesn't remember the sins of his people. God is omniscient, which means God knows everything. There is nothing that God does not know. He knows everything that's happened, everything that will happen, everything that could happen. God knows. So how could the psalmist say, don't remember the sins of my youth or my rebellion? And he says, but remember me according to your love and your mercy. God can't forget. He always knows. Okay. So what he's saying is, when you think of me, don't view me through the lens of my sin and my rebellion. Remember me according to your love and mercy. See me through that. When God looks at us, he sees us through the, if we're believers, if we're Christians, he sees us through the lens of Christ, his gift of love to us. Jesus came and he lived that perfect life that we didn't live. He didn't sin. And then he died for us. He paid the penalty for our sin. And so he says, view me through that lens, God, not the lens of my sin. Now, bringing that in there where it says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, what is he telling us to do? Okay, Chrissy says, have a proper view of God. Yes. View life through the lens of God, that conscious choice that I am going to view my life through the lens of God. When I am in a situation, I ask the question, what is it that would please God in this situation? When I am having to interact with people, how would God want me to interact with these people? What would he want me to say, and how would he want me to say it? It means to live a God-integrated life, where he's not just something we tack on Sunday, or maybe at a meal when we say the blessing, ask God to bless the food. We remember God, he's always in front of us. We set the Lord in front of us. And so we live he right now calls him, remember your Creator. So remember, as you go about life, who God is. He's the one who gave you life. And he's the one to whom you are accountable for how you live the life that he gave you. And so keep that in mind, starting when you're young. Don't wait until you're old to start really thinking about God and the things of God and what is it that's going to please him. And remember, oh man, I'm going to have to be accountable to God. He says, young people, do that. Now, why would he say, do that? Okay. Yeah. And so we don't. Yeah, and that's basically the second one, because he knows, first of all, that we're prone to forget. We're prone not to remember God, and if we don't remember God, as Phil said, we'll live a life of regret. When we get to be old, there will be a whole lot of regrets. There will be things in our old age that are visited upon us, the fruit of our life, and we aren't going to like it. So he says, we're prone to forget, and if we do, we aren't going to like it. Now, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we have the creation of the world. And when God created it, he declared it good. This world he made, it was good. And then he creates Adam and Eve, our first parents, and he declares everything very good. Okay. And he gives them a command. Don't eat of the tree in the center of the garden. Okay. And so they are a very good people enjoying the good creation of God, and they're having a great time. And then Satan comes, you know, in the form of a serpent, and he tempts Eve. And what did Eve do? She forgot God. She forgot her creator. And so what motivated her was not what is it that is going to please God in this. She didn't honor him as God. And therefore she was left with just pleasing herself. And so she looked, oh, the fruit looks good to eat. And she probably smelled it. And it's got some good promises for me. And so, because she forgot God, she did what she wanted to do, and she ate of the fruit. And then she gives some to Adam, who, and he forgot God. All he was thinking about was his wife. And so he took it, and he ate it. And the result is that this good world and the very good people were corrupted and cursed. And that leads us to the evil days that he's talking about. And the eventual standing before our Creator and giving an account for forgetting him. Now, like Adam and Eve, it's easy for us to forget God. Our world is great. You know, there is so much good in our world, and he's told us to rejoice in it, to enjoy our lives, and so we can very easily go about enjoying the good gifts of God in our life, and so be taken up in enjoying the good things of this life, that we forget God. We get up in the morning, and we go merrily, merrily, merrily along. It says, life is but a dream. And if we forget God, we will just seek to do what is best, what we think is best for us. And so he warns us. And he focuses primarily on young people. Don't do that, young people, he says. Remember God. And he puts in that warning because he knows what will happen if we don't remember God. How does he know? He's been there. He starts off, though, he knows his Bible. He was a king of Israel, and it was God required the kings of Israel to copy the Bible, to have their own copy. So he would write it, he wrote it out by hand, and he knew what had happened to people throughout history who forgot God. And then he can look around to people in his own life who forgot God, who did not remember God, and he saw what happened to them. And then he has his own personal experience. And he understood the consequences of not remembering God. And he's trying to warn us. He says, if you don't remember God, you'll make some bad, you'll get on some educational tracks in college or in other schooling that you really shouldn't have gotten into and wasted your time and your money. And you might get into some careers that you shouldn't get into, or you might get into some relationships you ought not to get into. You know, and then you might have drink more than you ought to drink. You know, watch things that you ought not to watch. See things on your phone. Choices there, choices on television, choices in so many different ways. If we don't remember God, and so he's warning us. Somebody said, "Oh, miserable people were at one time young, dumb people." Okay. He understands the misery that will be produced for forgetting God. And it starts with when we're young, young and dumb, and then we become old and miserable. And he's trying to say, don't be that type of a person. What remembering God will do will keep us from making a lot of foolish mistakes. It also will keep us from evil, and it will keep us from, when we get to the end of our lives, getting there with a whole lot of regrets. And then even passing the foolishness on to our kids. Some of us were raised, we'll say, in families. And parents passed on their misery and their foolishness onto their children. And so you're in the consequences of that. And what he's saying is, don't do that. Break the cycle right now. He's saying, hear me out. Listen to me. Seek God. Pray. Read your Bible. Do it every day. Bring God into your life. Let him be the lens through which you look and you see everything. Remember God. Don't forget God. Now, it's easy to dismiss Solomon. He's this old guy, you know, lived thousands of years ago. We're living today. It's easy to dismiss him, but don't dismiss him. Because of who Solomon was. Solomon is speaking from his own personal experience. We learn things sometimes the hard way through our own personal experience, or we can learn things an easier way, his own personal experience and his own testimony. And he's warning us. He was the son of David, Israel's greatest king. He was raised being taught the things of God. His father poured the things of God into him. When he was young, he loved God. He followed God. He was given the choice by God. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And Solomon didn't ask for a long life. He didn't ask for a whole lot of money. He didn't ask for victory over all of his enemies. He asked for wisdom to be able to lead God's people. And so he knew God. He loved God. He was following God. And then, when he was no longer, we'll say, in his daddy's house, when he was on his own, some young ladies caught his attention. Some pretty girls who didn't know the Lord. And they became his delight rather than God being his delight. And these women led him into idolatry, away from God, into the world. And he lived the majority of his adult life as a fool. And he's trying to warn us, don't do what I did. You'll have a whole lot of regrets. You won't get through it unscathed. That's what he's saying. Remember God while you're young. And then live your life that way. So, I really wish we could interact on this. So we've got to make it practical. So what does it mean to remember God when we're tempted? Okay, so Phil says he's there, he's omnipresent, and he's omniscient, so he knows, he's right there, and he knows everything, and he's seeing what's going on. Nothing is hidden, okay? Nothing is hidden when we take out our phones or when we turn on the computer or when we turn on the television. Nothing is hidden in the times of temptation. Okay, what does it mean to remember God when we choose our friends or choose who it is that we're going to date? What does that mean to remember God when we're thinking about a dating life? Is this someone that God would have for me? I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Would he want me to hook up? Bad word. Would he want me to date this person? Are they going in the same direction that I'm going? Are they following Christ or are they really going off in a different direction? You know, these friends, will they help me in my relationship with Christ or might they hold me back? Okay. That's what it means to live, to remember God. What does it mean to remember God? You know, when you're making a choice to where you're going to raise your family. I mean, you're... You go to college or you have some other training and you get the skills, you get a knowledge base, and then you're searching for a job, and then you get a job offer over here. How do you know whether you ought to take that job offer? I mean, the pay's good. Okay, what's the community like? You know, what impact, influence is that going to have on me and on my family? You know, are there any good churches in that community? And so if you look at that, well, it will really help me climb the ladder. It will help me. I can make a lot of money doing that. Yeah, but it might be a disaster for you spiritually or your family. Okay. So God's got to come into that picture. Or what does it mean to remember God when we got a couple extra bucks in our pocket? We covered that, you know, life is uncertain when we might just stick it in, keep it in our pocket in our bank account, but God might want me to meet this need over there. Or God might want me to invest it wisely over here and not just spend it. What does it remember to remember God when we see the sun rising and the warmth of it, of the day on us? He's saying, remember God, keep God always in front of you. Integrate God into everything. Young people, what you will do, teens and 20s, there are old people in this church and around churches around our community who didn't remember God in their youth. And in their old age, or older age, they have a lot of regrets, and there are the wounds, and there is the baggage. And Solomon says, don't go through that. And I think, don't be satisfied with just knowing God. Okay. I am a Christian. I know God. In some churches, it seems to be that that is the be-all and end-all. It's not. That's the beginning. No parent, you know, they celebrate when a child is born. Do they say, okay, the child's born, that's it? No. Parents don't celebrate until the child grows onto maturity in Christ, in maturity, and are able to leave the home and function as adults, responsible adults. And God wants his children to grow to maturity in Christ. And so don't be satisfied with just knowing God, being, hey, I'm saved. Now he says, now live for God throughout every area of your life. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years grow near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. The evil days are our old age when things don't get better. You know, when you're young and something happens and you're, well, this too will pass. Guess what? Old age doesn't pass. It just gets worse. And so he's saying, remember God before that happens, when the days don't get better. Remember God in your youth, so that when you get to the old age, there's not a lot of things that you look back and say, I wish I had never done, or I wish I had done. Wouldn't it be great to when we die to say, here, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Wouldn't it be great to hear that? Yeah. I think that's what we all want to hear from God. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. To finish the race, run it all the way to the very end, knowing that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for us. You know, run all the way to the end. Don't stop for the finish line. Now, in verse number 2, Solomon says, remember God before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. Okay, I think that's mental vitality. You know, remember God while you still have the mental capacities to do so. Remember God before before you're not quite as sharp as you used to be. You know, when you can't recall things like you used to be able to recall. You know, remember God before that light begins to draw dim, and your memories are not what really happened. You know, remember God before you start, taking some herb or something that's, came from a jellyfish. You know, and then somebody asks you what you're taking, and you say, I don't remember. You know, and it happens. You know, you misplace things. You know, and what did I do with it? And I won't ask you to raise your hand if you've ever opened up a refrigerator and found something in there that shouldn't be in there, like your car keys or something like that. That's what he's saying. Remember God before you start forgetting everything, and you can't remember God. And he talks about, because we're going to reach a time in which we're like we were when we were first born. You know, when you're first born, you can't take care of yourself. He said, that's where we're headed in old age. And I've got 4 grandkids, and two of whom are infants. And all they do is eat and drink and fill their diapers. And he's saying, that's where you're headed. Okay? Remember God before you get there. Remember God in the day when the day when the keepers of the house tremble. Okay, this is old age, the keeper of the house. This is probably your arms and your hands. Okay, and you can't do the daily task like you used to be able to do the daily task. You can't button the buttons on your shirt. Or you get your morning cup of Joe or your morning cup of tea and your hands shaking. And it's difficult for you to be able to drink it. I think that's what he's talking about when he says that when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent. That's the legs, and the grinders cease because they're few. Your teeth have fallen out, and those who look through the windows are dim. Your eyesight has begun to fail, and the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low. You're not eating much. Or anything hard because you have few teeth and they've fallen into your mouth. And you rise up at the sound of a bird, meaning sleep is difficult. And then you wake up early, but you hadn't really, heard anything because later on, you can't hear, ears go, and all the daughters of the song are brought low. Your ability to hear leaves, and you no longer enjoy music because you can't hear the music. And they are afraid also of what is high, and the terrors in the way, and this is the fear of heights. You fear you might stumble and fall. So if you go outside, you might fall, and so you don't want to fall. My mother was visiting one of my sisters in Greenville, and Mom went out on the porch, and she didn't come back in, and Margaret went out and saw Mom lying down in the flower bed. She said, Mom, what are you doing down there? She said, I'm picking weeds. I fell and I couldn't get up, so I thought I'd do something while I'm down here. Okay. That was my mom in old age. She was great. The almond tree blossoms, its hair turns white. The grasshopper drags itself along. Okay, that's just the slow movements of old age. There's no running, there's no walking fast. You just kind of drag yourself along. And desire fails because man is going to his eternal home. Sex, no interest in it or no ability or both. You're getting close to death, and the mourners go about the street. That's death. Remember God before the silver cord is snapped and the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. And those could be different body parts, or it could be just a metaphor for death. He says, that's the evil day. This is coming. And dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Okay. Ultimately, this is where we're all headed. Ultimately, we're all going to die. We came from dust, and we will return to dust. Created by God, and will return to God. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. It's hevel, it's a breath, it's a vapor. Life is an enigma. It's something that we can't control. It is here and it's going to be gone before we know it. And it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what our advantages are or disadvantages are. It doesn't matter what our position is in life. We cannot control life like we want to. And then one day, our life is going to be over. Okay. It's not over now. So what then should we do? Thinking back what he's told us. Okay, we've got to remember God. But even in that, what else? Savor life. Okay. Be bold, he says. Enjoy life. Savor it. But keep God in mind. So, if you like to fish, what should you do? Fish. Because there's going to come a time when you can't fish. If you like to hunt, what should you do? Hunt. Because there's going to come a time in which you won't be able to hunt anymore. You might not be able to climb the tree. Or you might not be able to see to shoot your gun. You know, or you may be shaking too much. So if you like to hunt, he says, hunt. If you like sports, what should you do? Girls, if you like soccer, what should you do? Play soccer, because there's going to come a time in which you won't be able to play soccer anymore. Yeah, okay. And so if you like to cook, what should you do? Cook. Absolutely. And if you like to eat, eat. It's one of God's good gifts, right? It's just, you know, if you like music, what should you do? Listen to music. Play music. Because there's going to come a time in which you won't be able to enjoy it anymore. That's what he's saying about life. You know, if you like steak, what should you do? Eat a steak. If you got a wife, what should you do? Kiss her. You know, it's just, don't wait. Because there might come a time when your teeth aren't kicking anymore. You know? Yeah, I think that's what he wants us to do. There are so many good gifts that God has given us. And he says, enjoy the good gifts while you can, because there's coming a time and when you won't be able to. If you have free time, if you have vacation time, what should you do if you have vacation time? Yeah. Take it and go fishing. If you have vacation, don't work all the time. You know, and if God's given you a Sabbath, what should you do on the Sabbath? Maybe rest. Okay. And so he says, all we have is we're guaranteed today. We got one life, no more. We got one body. Take care of the body. One set of eyes. You got your hands. You got your legs. You got your feet. Take care of those things. Because one day they're going to go away, in a sense. Take your abilities that God has given you. Use them. Save your life. But keep in mind, you've got to give an account to God for how you live. So remember God in your youth, so that when you get to be old, there's no regrets. It will keep you from a whole lot of evil and a whole lot of foolishness. These first 8 verses will happen to every one of us unless we die young. And when we die, he says, to dust we came, to the dust we return. And Erwin Lutzer, who was pastor of Moody Church in Chicago, says this. He said, 1 minute after you die, you will either be elated or terrified. And it will be too late to reroute your travel plans. When you step behind the party curtain, your life will not be over. Rather, it will be just beginning in a place of unimaginable bliss or indescribable horror. So therefore, Solomon says, remember your Creator. Remember who made you. Remember where you're going. And I think some of us have forgotten God. we're not viewing life through the God lens. We're just living our lives, basically doing what we want to do. We're not rejecting God. We don't think, I don't want anything to do with you, God. We're just not remembering God. We're just going through our lives, just living basically the way we want to live. And Solomon says, don't do that. Remember him. And some of us don't know God. We don't have a relationship with God because a relationship is only through Jesus Christ. And so the call of the passage is to come to know him and to view life through the lens of that relationship with God. This life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. So may that be the majority of our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this book of Ecclesiastes. It calls us to celebrate your goodness, to enjoy good gifts from your hand. It tells us not to live a life of fear, but to be bold because you're in charge and you are trustworthy. We might not know what you're doing, but you know what you're doing, and that can give us rest and peace in a world that sometimes is upturned upside down. Father, help us to see things clearly. To see evil as evil and call it that. To see good as good and embrace that. And remind us to remember you throughout our days, especially the young folk here, to live their life remembering you. And Father, may all of us truly know you. May we have turned from going our own way to go your way. May we all have embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior from a horrible eternity and our Savior for a great life today. Father, may we be those who are quick to repent when we forget you. Help us to understand that you will never forget us. You've known us from all eternity. And you'll never let us go. Hold us fast. And Father, those that don't know you here, we pray that you would call them to yourself. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.